Okay, so I guess we're on Perek Bey's Mishnah Yedaled, right? So the next part of the Mishnah was Umi Bao Malatcha Benaman Hu Bao Malatcha Shiyashalim Lachos Harpulasecha. Okay. So Umi Bao Malatcha, right. Okay, that the Baal Malachtecha God is Neman to pay the schar. Okay. So Rabbeinu Yonah says Shalotase Malachas Hashem Remia. Okay, so you shouldn't make the Malachas Hashem Remia. It shouldn't be a trick. You shouldn't try to trick God, basically. I guess that's right. That's how the expression. Okay, you shouldn't make it into a Remia, into a what's the word, but whatever.
Deceit.
Very good. Good. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Hu Baal Malachtecha. Okay, because God is the Baal Malachtecha. He's the owner. Ve'ein nistar mineged enav. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. Okay, so who are you working for? You're working for God. So by God, there's no remia. You can't deceive God. Okay? So you should know that you can't deceive him. I mean, like, would a person really think you could deceive God? I mean, isn't that sort of a funny thing?
Yeah.
You know? Hey. Right, so, hey. So we started this Rabbeinu Yonah, right? So the Mishnah says that you have to know who you're working for, and that he's a Neman, God's a Neman, to pay your Yischar. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Shalotasa Malachas Hashem Remia. You shouldn't try to deceive God. Ki Hashem Yisparach Hu Ba Malachah Ve'en Nistam Neged Einov. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the only thing we said is what does it mean? What do you mean you shouldn't try to deceive God? You know what I mean? I mean, that sounds like pretty obvious. I mean, God knows what's going on. Right? I guess he's going on me da mi ba malachtecha, the first part of the sentence, because it doesn't really fit into the second part. But neman hu ba malachtecha sheishan chas karpu losecha, that right. But the first part it fits into mi ba malachtecha. Who's the one you're working for? You should know who's the one you're working for. So meaning, Rabbeinu Yonah says, meaning you shouldn't try to trick him. If you're working for a boss, a human boss, you could do things that he'll think you're working and you're not working, or he think you're doing one thing and you're not really doing it. You give the appearance so he can't tell, right?
Right.
But with God, you can't do that because God sees through everything. So obviously, right?
So is this talking about motivation?
Okay.
You shouldn't have a deceitful motivation?
Right. In other words, in the area of motivation, that's right, exactly. What do you mean?
Yeah, would that mean that you're deceiving yourself?
Right, exactly. In motivation, there it's very tricky. The person himself, the person has to be honest with himself. It means you have to be honest with yourself. Because in motivation, you could fool yourself, and you think that you're, you know, just sort of implicit. You feel like you you're fooling God. You know what I mean? Implicitly, because you're fooling yourself, really. So it means that when you're before God, your attitude, if you recognize, let's put it this way. What it means is, if you have a recognition that you're before God, it gives you a different frame of mind. You see, it creates a frame of mind where you realize there is no such thing as, covering over is not a reality. And therefore the person naturally will be honest with himself. Okay, so basically he's saying that you should have a recognition you're before God. It puts you in a different frame of mind. The frame of mind where a person fools himself is because he feels that he doesn't have the recognition that he's before God. Okay? But if a person has a recognition that there's of the true reality, then he realizes there's no sense in fooling anybody. Fooling yourself, fooling anybody, there's no sense in it. Okay? Because everything the idea of fooling yourself is like a frame of mind, of an unrealistic frame of mind. Like, I'm able to fool myself. I'm able to put on a false veneer. You know what I mean? That's a frame of mind where a person is in an infantile frame of mind. If a person is in a realistic frame of mind, then he's removed from that. And then he realizes that I have to operate in reality. That's it. And there's no such thing as putting on a facade. Facade is an infantile idea. Like, a facade is the way people look at me, that's the way I am. It's an infantile, it's an irrational idea, and if a person's in a frame of reality, he simply doesn't have that kind of that category doesn't exist of fooling another person. Because I guess the idea of fooling another person is that what he thinks is real. So if he thinks that I'm working, somehow or other, if he thinks I'm a good person, somehow or other, that makes me a good person. It's that kind of mentality. A person that's in reality doesn't have that mentality. What another person thinks doesn't mean anything. Okay? So that's what it's saying. Before God, your mentality is such that that type of logic doesn't exist in your mind. You're removed from that type of logic. Okay? Okay. Va'od, then the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Va'od ki eich lo titrach ba. How could a person not work, not use tremendous effort, be toreach? V'hine yiyeh lecha sachar gadol aleha. There's a great reward on him, or on it, for it. For the Malechas Hashem, uveneemanus yishamu luchas charpu lasecha, and he'll be paid. God will pay you faithfully, exactly your schar of what you did. Okay, so therefore, a person should have that in mind, that God will, that he'll be repaid for what he did, exactly what he deserves. So he says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'yafa pisha amru, al tiyu kavanam hamashamshim esarav amanasakal pras. It would seem this advice goes against the whole idea of the true idea of Torah. A person's not learning or engaging in mitzvahs for an exchange, for something better. He's doing it lishma. So how could you tell me that I should have in mind the reward I'm going to get? This is the reward. Okay, so Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Kedei lehisgaber al hayetzer hamesis also milasos hamitzvos." Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah says, in order that he should be able to overcome his instincts that fool him, that seduce him, milasos hamitzvos, take him away from the mitzvos, the lalechas baderech hayashar. And he should use this as a vehicle that the yetzer that seduces him from doing mitzvos and from walking in the straight path. Tov lachshov ki pras yesh lo aleihem. So it's good he should think in his mind that there's a reward. Shalolitum pischum per la yetzer lekatrek. Okay? In order to counteract the yetzer. Okay? Right, so how's he answering the question? I mean, person supposed to not supposed to look at the mitzvos as a means for something greater, right? So he's saying that what? That he should use this as a vehicle to counteract his yetzer. Okay? So what's he saying? And as a person has to operate on two levels, the object, the real level, where a person knows that the Torah itself is the greatest good, right? But he has another part of him that is looking for something greater, looking for the instinctual enjoyments, not this type of enjoyment. Right, so he should use this as a way of fighting off that part of his nature, the part of the nature that's looking for pleasure. He should use this.
What is he using exactly?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the question. What is he using? In other words, he's using this idea that if I keep the Torah, I'm going to get tremendous schar, tremendous reward. Right. And that will counteract the yetzer that's looking for some kind of crazy fantasy. Yeah.
So, but he already has an idea that Torah is. It's not like this guy doesn't have an idea of what Torah is.
Right.
So he has an idea of what Torah is, but he's still. So you can't tell me use the Torah to now remove.
Right.
It's what he's doing. It seems like it's not working.
Right. In other words, he knows if he knows that the Torah itself is the greatest good. So then, how will he use this idea of that there's a greater reward? As he knows that the Torah itself is the greatest good. I mean, what does he mean by the greater reward? I mean, I assume it means he's talking about Olam Haba.
I'm saying a person involved in Torah doesn't know about that. I guess that's what he's referring to, that kind of guy.
What's that?
He's referring to a guy that's involved in Torah but doesn't know about the reward of Olam Haba?
No. He's talking about a person that knows about the reward of Olam Haba. Right? But the Mishnah says that a person is not supposed to... That the benefit of the Torah, what motivates a person, is the Torah itself, and the reward of Olam Haba is just an extension of the benefit he's having here.
Right.
Right. So he's not if he's doing it just for that reward, then it means that he doesn't value the Torah right now. So the Mishnah says you shouldn't do that. Right. He should have the value of the Torah should be right now. But he's saying now that you can do that in order to counteract your yetzer hara. Right?
I mean, you can do that,
You could say, well, let me think of the reward I'm going to have in Olam Haba is going to be such an unbelievable enjoyment that will quiet his yetzer hara. So that really is okay. That makes sense. Why? Because the reward of Olam Haba is an unbelievable enjoyment. It's much better than any enjoyment that the person could possibly have here. Right? The only thing is, if he's really doing it for that, it means he doesn't see the value in Torah itself. Because if a person considers that a great enjoyment, then he should be enjoying it right now. In other words, if he's doing it for that reward, it means he doesn't have any enjoyment here in Torah. Right? So that means that's lo lishma. That means he has a wrong idea of what the next world is. If he doesn't enjoy Torah now, then his idea of the next world is not realistic. You know what I mean? He has a fantasy about the next world. But he's talking about a person that enjoys the Torah. Right? The only thing is, his Yetzer is pulling him away. So insofar as the Yetzer is concerned, he can use the idea of Olam Haba to counteract the Yetzer. Because the Yetzer is looking for some instinctual pleasure, some great pleasure. And what he can do is he can use the idea of Olam Haba to direct the Yetzer to that pleasure. Okay? But, so that's,
It seems, maybe this doesn't follow, but it seems like the Yetzer is looking for pleasures that can experience now.
Right.
So what is an Olam Haba? What is the pleasure of Olam Haba? How is that going to help the Yetzer? As far as the Yetzer knows, there's no pleasure in Olam Haba. How does that know?
Well, that's a good question.
No one came back and said, "Hey, there's some great pleasure in Olam Haba. You gotta wait."
See, that's the good thing of dealing with the Yetzer. The Yetzer Hara, it's true.
You're not going to trick him.
What's that?
You're not going to trick him.
Well, the thing is that there is a way to trick him, he's saying. Because the Yetzer Hara tricks you because it presents before you a certain fantasy, something unrealistic. You see? So the way to trick the Yetzer is to present something unrealistic or something vague before the Yetzer.
Yeah, but...
because the Yetzer is looking... The Yetzer always doesn't have really anything tangible. You see, the Yetzer is looking for some kind of pleasure that's magnified. You see?
I can understand the other way. Let's say you separate you and the Yetzer. Right? Yeah. So if you have the pleasure from the Yetzer,
right,
the Yetzer sees it first and it knows that how desirable it's going to be. And right, how it can fool you that this is so good.
That this is unbelievable.
Right, because it's not stemming from you, it's stemming from a kind of the Yetzer.
Right.
Okay. But the other way around, you already know that it's... what do I know much about even the pleasure of Olam Haba? So, me myself, how do I even know that it's so great?
That's correct.
So how can I trick the Yetzer thinking that it's so great for...
That's correct. Because the Yetzer really also desires Olam Haba. You see, I'll give you a raya. People that don't really, that are lo lishma, a lo lishma person, right? Why is he doing the mitzvahs? Why is he learning? Why is he doing everything? Olam Haba, right? Now, Olam Haba, in his mind, does that come from the rational part or from the Yetzer Hara? The irrational part. You see, so Olam Haba, the Yetzer is looking for some kind of unrealistic enjoyment. So the Yetzer Hara could choose Olam Haba as well.
Why is that irrational means Yetzer?
It's an irrational thing because...
Well, why is that Yetzer Hara? Why is that the Yetzer Hara?
Why is that what?
Yetzer Hara. Why is the Yetzer Hara the irrational?
Yeah, the irrational. That's the Yetzer Hara. The irrational part. That's right. Because that is the part...
He can follow through in an idea, but then, you know, there's some point where he's not thinking fully.
That's right. That's because of the Yetzer Hara. That's because there's a part of him that's drawing him away towards the instinctual enjoyments, the physical enjoyments. You see? Now, that part can also look at Olam Haba as a physical type of instinctual pleasure. You see, because there's nothing, that part it can choose many, has many roads. It could choose any type of thing in reality and endow that thing with that fantasy pleasure. You see, and the raya is that you see that the average person looks at Olam Haba as some kind of fantasy enjoyment. You see, that's what drives most people. So what he's saying is you can use that emotion that you have to pull the Yetzer Hara closer to the real idea. It's not exactly, but it's closer because it's sort of coincides. You see, the Yetzer will be, in other words, what he's saying is, if a person wants to pursue Torah, there's a part of him that is Lashma, and then there's also a part that's Lolashma. But you can use the Lolashma part to go side by side with the Lashma. Yeah.
You said that the average person who learns Lolashma is doing it because of the Olam Haba.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's like lots of reasons that a person could be learning other than Lashma. Like ego, kavod.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a lot of like different. He could be learning because he feels like he has like a societal pressure on him to do so.
Right.
There's lots of reasons that a person could be learning, Lashma.
That's right. And all of those reasons will involve Olam Haba. Right. Let's say a person's learning for kavod, honor. Right. So the honor is certain honor he has here. But in his mind, it's going to be an endless honor. It's going to continue after this life. He'll be up in heaven gaining honor. Right? So any lo lishma idea the person has to extend infinitely. It's not, no person thinks of himself as a great person, and in around 7.5 years, I won't exist. Right? All of the ideas that are emanate from the Yetzer Hara always partake of the infinite. You see, that's why Olam Haba is such an attractive concept, because you're feeding right into the Yetzer Hara.
Is it because the person like thinks that they'll have infinite kavod in Olam Haba, or because the people just ignore their own mortality, and so they see this feeling they have going to have forever?
Well, you know, a person could ignore his mortality, but if he has a basis to ignore his mortality, then it becomes much more substantiated. So if the Torah tells him there's Olam Haba, you have an infinite existence, well, that is, a person will be very happy with that concept, much more happy than just to think on his own that I'm infinite. Here he has confirmation from the Torah. So that becomes a tremendous vehicle for the Yetzer Hara. That all of my desires are infinite. You see? So actually, what he's telling is there's nothing wrong with utilizing that tool, which is very attractive to the Yetzer Hara. So a person shouldn't feel that if he has a Yetzer Hara, that you have to, like, that's a bad thing and push it away. No, on the contrary. You should use that. If a person has that Yetzer Hara and he could utilize Olam Haba to work with his Yetzer Hara, that's what he should do. He knows it's unrealistic. That's okay. Yeah.
He says at the end of this point.
Yep.
It's all shlo yitain pischon pe la yitzer lekatri.
Yes.
What is the kitzur, I guess, that the yitzer would accuse?
What is he adding? Because he already said, "Let's cover all the Yetzer Masis also, Milasos and Metzus of Lachas Bederach Yasher." This will allow him to have mastery over the Yetzer, which is seducing him away from the truth. Tov Lachshav Ki Pras Yesh Lo Aleim Shelo Litein Pischon Pe Le Yetzer the Kachrei.
Yeah, just wondering, what is the Pischon Pe?
Yeah, what's the?
What is it saying?
What's the Pischon Pe? Yeah, well, what's he? What do you mean, Pischon Pe Le Kachrei?
Right.
What is he? He's not being. What's the condemnation? What's the.
What's that?
The Kutreg. You know, the Kutreg is like Kategor is a prosecutor. What's. Right? What's the statement of prosecution? Right? What's a good word for that Kutreg?
In English?
To what?
In English? Or
yeah.
Prosecution?
Prosecution, yeah. Like, as a verb, I guess it would be to not condemn, but to, you know.
Accuse.
This guy, he's got the... Are you an English major?
No.
Very good. Got a good vocabulary. Yes, to lodge an accusation. Exactly. What's the accusation? I mean, yeah, it's a little strange, right?
Is it saying that there's no value in this activity?
You mean in the Torah, the Derech HaTorah.
Right.
Derech HaChaim of Torah, that's very good, yeah. I mean, the Yetzer Hara is giving you an insight into the Yetzer Hara. You know, how does the Yetzer Hara pull you away?
Hey, I'm just saying it's like my, reward.
What's that?
I'm just saying, if he's talking about, reminding yourself that there is a reward for this.
There is a reward, yeah.
So apparently, it seems like you're saying that there is no reward. There is no benefit.
Wait, why are you saying that?
Because his remedy is to remind yourself that there's a reward.
Well, but isn't that you shouldn't, that shouldn't be the reason why you do it lishma?
No, that's not lishma, but...
I know, so it's saying that's how you're going to do it low lishma.
Right.
Why does that imply that there's no reward, though?
That's what the Yitzhar is accusing.
Oh, the Yitzhar is...
Accusation, The accusation is...
So it seems like this remedy is not working.
What?
No.
I'm not sure if I'm following. Is the Yitzhar saying now that there is no reward?
Well, he's saying... No, in other words, the Rabbeinu Yonah says you should tell the Yitzhar about this reward, so to speak.
Right.
So that the Yetzer Hara won't be able to accuse. And what would be the accusation? In other words, if you're telling the Yetzer Hara that this is a great reward, it must be the Yetzer Hara saying there's no reward. That's how the Yetzer Hara is getting you, by saying you're engaging in a whole way of life that's a total waste. It's not getting you anywhere. You're not accomplishing anything.
So the Yetzer Hara is talking about here, then?
That's right. The Yetzer Hara is saying, well, the Yetzer Hara is, how does the Yetzer Hara fool you? It tells you, what are you doing? You're spending your life, you're not getting anything out of it. So I can give you a life where you can get some enjoyments. So that's why the way to counteract the Yetzer Hara is to tell him, no, but in the next world, I'm going to have a great life. You know what I mean? In other words, if the Yetzer Hara is not operating on those, if there's no common ground, so then... What does the Yetzer Hara care? If the Yetzer Hara only cares about this life, so then what are you telling the Yetzer Hara? That the next life is going to be unbelievable. But he's not attacking you. He's not accusing you based on that. He's accusing you right now. You're not getting anything. You know what I mean? So it must be that the accusation of the Yetzer Hara is not just right now. The Yetzer Hara is telling you, I can give you an infinite enjoyment. I can give you infinity. You see? And you're giving up for this. So that's why this is an answer to the Yetzer Hara. You know what I mean? So the Yetzer Hara, if the Yetzer Hara was simply physical enjoyment is the thing, I don't recognize anything else. Okay, so then what kind of an answer is this? Oh, in the next life I'm going to have this. But in this life you don't have. That's good. All right. It's the accusation. The Yetzer Hara is really accusing you. What are you doing? You're wasting... I can give you a great thing and you're wasting. It's an interesting thing, yeah. I mean, it shows you, when the Yetzer Hara gets a person, it's not just tempting you with pleasure. You see, because a temptation for pleasure, a person could say, listen, resist that. In other words, part of a person is a sense of your own self-image. Okay, you're tempting the pleasure. There's a lot of pleasures. Yeah, I could go and do a crazy thing. I'd enjoy it, but it's not befitting of me. You see, so the Yetzer Hara can't just tempt you with pleasure. You can't do it. You know, if you're a child, yes, but an adult, you're going to tempt me with pleasure? What do you mean? I'm looking for something further. Respect. So the Yetzer Hara has to accuse. It has to be an accusation. It's not just the pleasure. The Yetzer Hara is hitting you with, you're a fool. You see, you're a fool. You're giving up your life for nothing. What are you wasting your time? He's attacking you on both grounds. On the enjoyment ground and on the... It's an accusation. It's against your self-image. You're a fool. You see? It shows you that's what the Yetzer Hara is doing. He does two things. It's mesis, he pulls you away with the enjoyments, but also the Yetzer Hara attacks your self-image. What kind of a... you're not gaining anything. You're a sucker. Right?
Does that also work towards what the Yetzer Hara drives you to? Meaning, Yetzer Hara is saying that this is... Forget about that.
Yeah.
This is the pleasure that you associate with. This should be your life now.
That's right. This should be your life. And that's why the Yetzer Hara is always infinite. Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't... If the Yetzer Hara... If the person's just attracted to a momentary thing... But so infinite means, this is really... It's a kiyum in me. Like, I have... I'm going to have eternal... That gives this person a certain self-worth.
So it really is something about how I... I'm trying to phrase it. Meaning it's not like something external to you. In terms of just like these different separate pleasures that you might have.
Nah.
It's something that you associate with really deep down.
It reflects on you. That's right, exactly. And that's why it's infinite. It means it's feeding into your self-worth. This is going to be, I'm going to have this eternally. That's me. See, that's how the Yates is attracting you.
I don't know if this is a semi question, but along those lines, but then, which are you then? Meaning, if you're going to be involved in Chachma and Torah,
right.
But at the same time, you're also involved in all of this, and it's part of you, because this is, you're convincing yourself that this is really great.
That's right.
So
there's two people, right? You're both. In this world, you're both. In the next world, you're one. But in this world, you're both. That's right.
And so really the only way to limit that, because you can't, I guess, since we're saying it's part of you, you can't
erase it.
You can't erase it.
Cannot erase
it. Now, so then the only thing you can do is fool it and try to, like, sometimes, you know, not do it.
Well, that's what you're saying. Redirect it.
But redirecting is not permanent.
Well, yeah, it's not permanent.
So all you could do is, you know, temporarily...
That's right. You could redirect it.
And redirecting it is fooling it, in terms of thinking that there's some greater...
That's right. You're fooling it, right.
So it's impossible to do it anything literally.
Well, there is a higher level.
That means you don't have the Yetzer Hara then.
No, it means that if the person reaches a level where the person's energy, his instinctual energy now, is attached to the enjoyment of learning. You see, then his. Yetzer Hara, what we call the Yetzer Hara, is really attached. He has a Yetzer Hara for learning.
Yep.
That is his enjoyment. You see? Then you don't have to... Then it doesn't require it to be fooled, because that's where the person enjoys himself. On the contrary, these other enjoyments he doesn't want, because they're not as great as the learning. You see? That's the highest level. You see? But that's not really...
You're still using Torah as a vehicle of fulfilling your instinctual.
That's right. But it is a natural thing. You see, what the level Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about is where a part of him wants something else, but it can coincide with this. He can get that other thing with the idea of Olam Haba. You see, but he's still operating. That part of him is still operating. He has to have the image that Olam Haba is something like instinctual enjoyments. You see, like physical pleasure. That part of him is going to be operating on that realm. You see, but a higher level is where the person doesn't care about Olam Haba. He simply can't wait to learn in this world, and all of his energy is directed. You see, then there's no battle. You see. But that's, you know, that's a very high level. That's like the Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah when he's talking about Avram, when he's talking about Lishma. So he said that the level of Avraham, the Lishma, that many of the Chazal couldn't reach that level. You see, even though they were on a very high level, but to be on a level where a person is, all of his energy is directed towards Torah, Lishma, that is very rare thing for a human being. You see, that's a very rare thing. But that's the highest level. Yeah.
Could you explain again how you go about telling yourself this?
How you fool the Yetzer?
Yeah, well, just like, what exactly...
Get in front of a mirror. Just...
What's that?
What exactly are you actually thinking to yourself?
You gank the Yetzer out and sit and talk to him.
That's right.
It's like a motivational speech.
I would say, let's put it this way. I would say that the person, the Yetzer... It's not so much how much you have to tell the Yetzer. The advice here is that once a person is operating Lashma, once a person recognizes the truth, then usually he discards the other idea of Olam Haba. You see, that Olam Haba is, that other idea is a pure fantasy, and he avoids that type of mental framework. And as he looks at Olam Haba realistically, he sees what it is. And if a person sees what it is, then his motivation is directed to this world, not to the next world. Because he realizes he doesn't have an accurate idea of what that world is, and his enjoyments have to be right here. The pursuit of Torah has to be in this world. So he abandons the other idea of Olam Haba. What Rabbeinu Yonah is just telling you here is you can utilize that idea. There's nothing wrong with utilizing that incorrect notion in order to direct your, to help the Yetzer Hara, to answer the Yetzer Hara. Do you know what I mean? In other words, when a person feels pulled by the Yetzer Hara, he could resort to thinking that, okay, let's just weigh the enjoyments. Okay, I can have this enjoyment the Yetzer Hara is pulling me to, but what will I be giving up? I'm going to be giving up something of infinitely greater enjoyment that I don't really have an accurate idea of, but it's going to be, I know it's going to be infinitely greater. You see? So don't try to fight the Yetzer by just saying, well, we know those enjoyments are crazy. Learning is better. You know what I mean? Because if you fight the Yetzer on that grounds, sometimes it's not going to work because... You have another, let's put it this way, you have another weapon at your disposal. If all else fails, the person could say to himself, look, I feel right now that enjoyment is what I should do. That's the greatest enjoyment. I'm convinced by the Yetzer, true, but it's going to cost me in the future. You see, it's going to cost me in Olam Haba. So he's saying that's a weapon a person could utilize. You know what I mean? Sometimes if a person doesn't know that, he would think, oh, I should, that's you know, I'm just resorting to a false kind of framework of Olam Haba. The Mishnah says a person shouldn't, that's a lo lishma. I shouldn't indulge in a lo lishma thought. You know what I mean? I think that's what he's trying to say, that you have to sometimes use lo lishma to go against the Yetzirah. You can't always use rationality.
Right. You're not saying that you should actually like try and distinctly imagine like a physical pleasure in Olam Haba, though.
Well, I would say if that will help the guy, then he could do it. Okay. Because the point is, he knows he's using it as a tool.
Right.
It's not risky for the guy himself.
Well, let's put it this way. Right now, he's in risk. Now, the worst outcome could be if he follows the Yetzer
Hara. Right. So now, I'm saying, what he's doing is he's tricking the Yetzer Hara, thinking that they're, like, you know, I don't know, tricking, but like,
redirecting. So you're saying he could get overtaken by the Yetzer Hara is Yitzhar for Olam Haba. Could get overtaken by that. But the point is, that would be better. That would be preferable. Yeah. And even if he would remain on that, that would still be preferable.
Right.
Because the Yetzer Hara, if it's directed in the right area, at least he has a chance. You see, so he's saying that's preferable. It's preferable for a person to have a crazy idea about...
Hello?
Hi, how you doing?
It's funny, because like when you... It seems like you're going to have to come out so we can... Once you're going to be fighting the Yetzer Hara.
I was thinking the opposite.
Really?
No, I was thinking you... How does this even work? You're not
okay.
Oh, that's what he's saying. That's my first question was.
Let me ask Sir Alain.
Then he's saying, the Yitzhara has this...
Well, I could call her.
You can check the Yitzhara. Because he's saying the people
find out, okay?
They learn solely just for the Yitzhara flesh, but they have no idea what Yitzhara
is. Yeah, but you're just like telling yourself that. You know that you're telling yourself. You know it's not. In a certain sense, you know it's not true. You're doing Bashar's telling.
No, I'm saying, but that's what all these people... are doing when they're learning for Olam Haba.
That's right.
They're just telling themselves that they're...
And that's really preferable.
It's not conscious, though.
True.
What's that?
Like, just telling yourself... Like, the example I gave before, that people have an idea of Olam Haba based off an instinctual... Not necessarily that's a conscious thing that they're dealing with. But here, if you're starting off where... Now how am I going to get... If this is your question, how am I going to trick the Yetzer Hara or remove that part by consciously telling myself that there's some great pleasure in Olam Haba? How's that going to work? I know. But there's still a difference between the guy learning for the Olam Haba pleasure and the guy trying to fool his Yetzer Hara, consciously and unconsciously.
Well, the point is like this. Once you tell the Yetzer Hara that, then there's going to be a part of you that's looking at Olam Haba that way. That's to be a part of you that's really looking at Olam Haba that way.
You mean that already was looking at it that way?
Well, that is going to now.
No, it's going to now, but even so, isn't that still conscious though?
Well, I don't know, subconsciously or consciously, but there's going to be a part of you that's operating to get to that pleasure of Olam Haba. To get to that, what it believes is a physical pleasure of Olam Haba, there's going to be a part of you that's operating lo lishma. But the point is that that's an improvement, because there's a part of you that's operating to gain the instinctual enjoyments. Now that part is operating as for Torah lo lishma. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's a step up. But there will be, in other words, if the person's successful, it means there's going to be a part of him that has in the back of his mind a fantasy of getting these great pleasures in Olam Haba. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You're not affecting the only way this works is if you're affecting the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara starts to direct itself to getting that goal.
Right.
What's going to happen?
It does seem, though, that once you start, let's say, that battle, so to say, you are going to come out weak in some sense afterwards. Even though it's going to turn out better for you,
right.
It's not going to be the same.
Yeah. That's right. There'll be a part of you that's looking at, really, really, I mean, I would say you're just bringing out that part of you, because there is a part of a person that looks at Olam Haba as like immortality, right? The only thing is, it's not really the main focus of the instincts. So you're really just bringing out that part of the Yetzer. You're really using one part of the Yetzer against the other part of the Yetzer. That's really what you're doing. You know what I mean? What you're doing is you're generating that part of the Yetzer that wants the immortality to fight the part of the Yetzer that's looking for the here and now. That's really what you're doing. Right? Like Yaakov said, if you don't have that part, there has to be that part of your Yetzer, otherwise what are you appealing to? You see? So you're really just trying to magnify the eternal part of the Yetzer to operate against the temporal part of the Yetzer. That's what you're doing. And you're using Olam Haba as a vehicle to tip that balance. So apparently, the eternal part of the Yetzer that's looking for immortality, is more suited to the Derech HaYashar. It's more consistent with the Derech HaYashar than the part of the Yetzer that's looking for the immediate. You see? The long-term part of the Yetzer is more consistent with the Derech HaYashar than the immediate. Apparently. That's the part you could work with. The immediate, there's nothing to work with because it wants the immediate pleasure. What are you going to work with?
Does the way the Yetzer fools you here, does that also stem from an immortal?
I mean, both things are at play.
But is it because it's immortal, or the Yetzer's telling you you're mortal, so you might as well get all the pleasures you can't now? I'm just curious if they're both kind of working in the same framework and just, crossing paths. Like one,
the Yetzer is not is not concentrating on the mortality part. The Yetzer is directed towards the immediate enjoyment.
But I'm asking that because it seems like what you're telling the Yetzer is that there is this immortal. Right, so there is something about the Yetzer that enjoys that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So wouldn't it work the other way as well then?
That what?
The way the Yetzer gets you?
Yes, is with the immortal.
So you are driven to these pleasures because of the feeling of immortality?
Oh, is that the main? Is that the main thing? I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works. Mm-hmm.
So could you say then that you're what you're doing here is kind of taking the immortality aspect that the Yetzer has about this immediate pleasure, and kind of detaching it from the immediate and attaching it to the Torah?
Okay, say that again?
You're detaching the immortality aspect that the Yetzer has and looking towards the immediate pleasure.
Yes.
And kind of directing it back towards Torah.
Towards Torah, okay, that's good, right. Now, it's the immortality aspect that the Yetzer has, that it's fixing onto the immediate pleasures, you're just taking that immortality part, the immortality aspect, and directing it towards the Torah. That's right.
Right.
That's correct. That's correct. That's right. Right, you're saying just like you're looking at the pleasures as being infinite, apparently for the Yetzer to work, it has to be able to extend the enjoyments infinitely. If it can't extend it infinitely, not going to be appealing. So what the Yetzer, the first fixation of the Yetzer is on the pleasures. So it takes the pleasures and extends them infinitely. What you're doing is you're taking that process and applying it to Torah. That's right. That the Torah enjoyment will be infinite. That's the real infinite. So you're taking that part of the Yetzer and using it for the Derech HaChaim of Torah. That's right. That's right. That's right. And the truth is that this is the real infinite. This really is the infinite. That's correct. That is true. You're right. See, apparently, the Yetzer has to employ the infinite because the finite, the person could see through. In other words, a finite enjoyment a person is able to resist. Because he says, okay, I'm going to enjoy something for 5 minutes. I don't know if it's worth it. You see? But an infinite enjoyment a person can't resist. Because that's something the imagination can work on that. The imagination can't work on something right here and now. But if that here and now is extended infinitely, then the imagination is able to sway a person. the imagination of infinite pleasure, that's an appealing thing. That's really what gets a guy. So Torah happens to have that. It happens to have the infinite. Because the Torah is. The life of the soul is infinite. You see? The only thing is, the soul is not something that the Yetzer really is too interested in. But the infinite aspect, that appeals to the Yetzer. Right. So you're really appealing to the Yetzer with an exit. What the Yetzer considers essential, you see, you're using an accidental feature of the Torah and making it into an essence. You see, so for the Chacham, whether it's infinite or finite is really accidental. You see, he's interested in the MS. So whatever the MS is, that's it. But for the Yetzer, the infinite is the essence. You see? So you're taking something that happens to have that quality and using it to track the Yetzer. That's right, exactly. That's really, that's good. That's a good way to put it. That's really what you're doing. You're using the infinite to attract the Yetzer. And that's really what the Yetzer is looking for.
Very good.
That's an interesting thing. You know, I heard once they have these shiurim online, the Rav Shiurim. So he was saying, I think he was talking about, there was the shiur on Megillas Esther. So he was saying that man is always looking for the infinite. He wants to be more than man. So he was saying, like, the Dur Hamabel is the man that's looking for the, like he called it, the orgiastic man. The man that's looking for pure pleasure. But a person doesn't want just the finite. He wants the infinite. He's looking for the infinite pleasure. And the Dur Haflaga was the egoistic man. But the egoistic man also is looking for infinite. He's looking for the infinite ego. You see, like, take over the whole world. Not enough just to have the finite. He always wants the infinite. You see? So, the truth of the matter is, that's the one thing that if you're looking for the infinite, the problem is, it's not over there. But there is a place where there is the infinite. That's here. That's really what the argument that you're using against the Yetzer. If you're looking for the infinite, we validate that quest. That is true. You see? That is a worthwhile goal, because the infinite means it partakes of a real existence. But the only thing is, the Yetzer is looking in the wrong spot. But there is a real spot where you could find it. I don't know if you mentioned that, but I think it's true. He mentioned it with regard to something else. Like he was saying, like, I guess this was back in the 1970s when he gave the shiur. He was saying, like, you find youth today are looking for things with drugs. They're looking for, you know, something in this world that will be, like, fantastic. Like, just, you know, they're looking to go beyond the mundane. They want something beyond, you know. He says, and this is a true quest of man. He wants something that just is beyond the finite. He says, but they're looking in the wrong place. We do have something fantastic and beyond the mundane in the Torah and Torah learning. That's a person that's seeking this type of thrill and enjoyment. He's just looking in the wrong place. You know what I mean? There is that experience that he's looking for, that out-of-the-world experience exists. It's right here. Right? Person gets involved in the world of ideas. That is something out of this world. So the truth is, all of the strivings of the Yetzer Hara, it's not that they're crazy. They are true strivings of man. See, and that's what you're telling the Yetzer. This is a true striving. The infinite, the immortal, that's correct. But there is look for it in the right spot. Interesting thing. See, Torah doesn't really go against these strivings. If God gave you a striving, It's because there is some correct place for it. You just have to apply it properly. Interesting, interesting. Interesting thing.
Yeah.
But you are supposed to keep it in the terms of the Aether, right?
What's that?
You are supposed to keep it, like you said earlier, in the terms of the Aether.
In terms of the Aether.
In emotional terms, not, you know, like reminding yourself about Hasharis and Ephesh.
I mean,
not just like reviewing, you know, metaphysical concepts.
Metaphysical concepts, yeah, yeah. It's right. It's different than metaphysical concepts. That's right. That's right. I don't know if the metaphysical concept would not appeal to the Aether. But, you know, it's, in other words, the idea of infinite is, you know, has an emotional color to it. But I guess the Rav's point was simply that the strivings, there is a place for the strivings that, you know, that is appropriate, and it will lead you to the truth. See, will these things lead you to the truth if the person, you know, uses his intelligence where to direct it? But it will lead you to the truth. You see, even this will lead a person to the truth. It may not be exactly what he envisioned, but he was heading in that direction. It's an amazing thing. So God gave us these instincts, which head in the correct direction. You see, it's without knowing the exact end result, but they're placed there to push a person along the right path as long as he has guidance. Once he has the guidance, these things will propel him. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we stop here?
Yeah.